go to the book of Daniel and about the seventh chapter. I will read from there. Then we'll talk about it by the grace of God. Daniel chapter 7. I will read the first 8 verses. And just for a few minutes, for introduction to this series, we just talk a little bit about these first 8 verses. Praise the Lord. Now, in the fourth year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision and of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And it said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the 4th horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking great things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Up to now, many people are very familiar with the second chapter of the book of Daniel. King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream, the metallic image. So that's why I just keep that one. So the head of gold, the breast and arm of silver, and the belly and thigh of brass, the legs of iron, and then the toes of iron and clay. So, and I know we all know that what those metals stand for. So we know the head of gold is talking about the 4 Gentile kingdoms at the end of the age. Praise the Lord. God offered, Nebuchadnezzar, God put in his heart to desire to know what shall be hereafter. Amen. Praise the Lord. God put in his heart to know, to desire what shall be hereafter. That's what he was thinking about, and God gave him those dreams. And you see, when Daniel was taken captive and the 3 children to Babylon, they were wondering, you know, and so that's due to prophecy too, while they were there. But God has a greater plan. So he needed to be a king there called Nebuchadnezzar, who will have these dreams to tell us about the Gentile kingdom at the end of time. We know the head of gold was Babylon, where Daniel was. We know the bread and the bread and the arms of silver are the Medo-Persian Empire. We know the belly of brass was the Grecian Empire. We know that. And we know that the feet of iron and clay is Roman Empire, the last one. Praise the Lord. So what many Christians already know is that now it came to time now when Daniel interpreted all these dreams. I believe himself was searching deeply the meaning of this dream. He himself called that spirit that was in Nebuchadnezzar to know, I believe, what shall be hereafter, especially concerning his people, the Jews. Praise the Lord. So with that hunger in his heart, the Lord now began to give him his own vision and dream. Praise the Lord. And you know, he did the interpretation of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. The how you know, the tall tree, I was a tall tree and so on, that was cut off and so on. The dream of the handwriting on the wall. Now in chapter 5 of you know of Daniel. Now it was time himself was hungry to know what shall be hereafter concerning the world and then concerning his people. And lo and behold, Daniel 7, the dream begin to come. As you will see, that what happened in this chapter was that there are four beasts, right? And we are going to map them back to what Nebuchadnezzar saw. So God often repeats prophecy in the Bible. So he will give the first prophecy then down the road, he may add more truth to them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's go to chapter 7 again. Let's go back to verse 2. We will see all the four beasts and see that they are the same four Gentile kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream as a metallic image and so forth. These same beasts are the same repetition of the same Gentile kingdoms. So in Daniel 7:2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Well, let's see the setting of this vision. The setting according to that verse was on the shore of the great sea, right? The Bible tells us that, of course, we know the Mediterranean Sea is what the Bible called the Great Sea. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Great Sea is the Mediterranean Sea. And we show by the scriptures. Amen? Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, the Great Sea refers to the Mediterranean. It was the center of the prophetic art. Amen? The Mediterranean was the center of the prophetic art. Let's prove by the Bible that the Great Sea is the Mediterranean. Now, in telling about the boundaries of the land of Israel, in Numbers 34, verse 6, we are showing that the Great Sea is Mediterranean and so forth. In verse 6, talking about the boundaries of Israel, as for the western border, ye shall even have the Great Sea. Watch and see. Ye shall have the Great Sea for a border. This shall be your west border. No mistaking. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible is so plain. While they were still going to the promised land, the Lord is telling them the western boundary. He told them the eastern boundary, the south and the north. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And verse 7 says, and this shall be your north border. From the great sea, ye shall point out for you Mount Hor. So we stop there. Where? At the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? The Lord always gives things at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, much later, Ezekiel came up, prophesying, Ezekiel 47, on the same note, talking about the great sea now, the center, the prophetic center of the earth. Now, Ezekiel 47, verse 20, talking about the same thing. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border. Till a man come over against Amath. This is the west side of the land. Amen? The Great Sea. Now, today, look at the map of Israel. The westmost part of Israel is the Mediterranean. Amen?
Amen.
Geography says that. Praise the Lord. And you can see Tel Aviv is right on the Mediterranean. Haifa is right on the Mediterranean. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that is the westernmost border of Israel. Just as the prophet said it will be. Praise the Lord. So when he say now we go to the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Let's break that one down. So the sea in the scriptures refers most of the time to peoples, tribes and nations. Praise the Lord. So we see that here. Now in Revelation 17, let's see that in Revelation 17 before we go into the visions themselves. So to show that in the Bible, peoples, tribes, and nations. Again, we give two witnesses to the same truth that seas always represents peoples, tribes, and nations. Revelation 17, Verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where they were seated, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So we're just showing from the scripture when these four winds serving upon the great sea and so forth. The Bible said that peoples and so on represent the sea, represent peoples and nations and tongues. Second witness, Isaiah 17, the 12th verse. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations. See that? That make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. 13 verse says, the nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the shaft of the mountain before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. So we see the winds and so forth. Now, so we see that the waters, I mean, so waters and so on, see, always represent people in the Bible most of the time. Now, how about the winds? The Bible says the winds and so forth. The winds represent the powers of the air, really, or the forces of Satan, which move upon the people, causing unrest and confusion among them. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Remember the incidents while the Lord was asleep and so on, there was a storm in the sea, right? And Mark 4, let me read that one. Mark 4, 37, I believe it is. And there arose a great storm of wind. Try to see what that four winds driving upon the great sea. What is it all about? You know? So we are showing that there are peoples and the path of darkness, you know, confusing the people at the end of time. So we are saying that, so let's see the winds here, the Lord here. And we say, and there arose a great great storm of wind, and the waves, beat upon the ship, so that it was now full, and it was in the hinder, and it was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and he awoke him, and said unto him, Master, careth not, or thou that we perish? And he arose and washed now and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The point is this. We are talking about those wind that struck upon the great sea are the powers of darkness, and the sea and so on, you see, are the peoples and so forth. The path of darkness, conflict, confusion in the earth in the end. Because the Lord says, he said, he rebuked the wind, right? There must be some intelligence before that storm, amen? How can they just rebuke something, amen? There was an intelligent, satanic power and so on. The cry was in the sheep. They said they can sing the cry, amen? Praise the Lord. So he rebuked the wind and so on. There are some powers and so on that rose from India, and the Lord rebuked the wind and so forth. So the visions of Daniel in chapter 7 correspond with those of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2. That's our theme tonight. No, and we don't want to go back to chapter 2 of it. Just stay in chapter 7 for the next 2 or 3, fellowship and so on along this line. In Daniel, chapter 7, the four world kingdoms were symbolized by four white beasts, as we see now, and relate respectively to the four metals of the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of Daniel 2. The scriptures often make repetitions of same prophecy to emphasize the certainty of its fulfillment. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, they always say that once in a while in the Bible and so on. We just repeat them, and we can see an example in Genesis 41. You know, remember how Pharaoh had a dream, right? We can't go and read all of those things. We just read only the relevant verse there, He saw 7 ears of corn, and so he saw 7 fat kine and so forth, 7 thin kine and so on. And then here what the Bible, how Joseph interpreted in Genesis 41, verse 32. We are showing that why would the Lord repeat the same thing to Daniel in his own vision that he already showed Nebuchadnezzar in his dream? Why would the Lord repeat it? And here is the thing. Genesis 41, 42. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will certainly bring it to pass. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So yes, you can either saw the image in a different symbol, you know, but the Lord now, that is also inquisitive. After interpreting those dreams, begin to seek the Lord, I believe, you know. And the Lord now give the same dream to him, but we add more information to him as we will read. Praise the Lord. Just simplify the book of Daniel and same thing the book of Revelation. They are written together too by the letter of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These are books that are touching, nominal touches and so forth, you know. But unto us it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see now Daniel's vision. So we see that also the same dream, but the same different symbols now. As we are going to see here, you know, and you know, that the same thing, but God add more information to it. So let's see. Daniel's vision in chapter 7 reveals many new details not shown in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the king's dream, the kingdoms are seen as concentration of wealth. You can see from gold, right? Begin to deteriorate. From gold, then to silver, then to brass, then to iron, and then clay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So it was shown, it will show the deterioration of the nations at the age end, and it end up in the terrible beast system. Praise the Lord. See, that's how it's going to go. And that's how it's going, you know, if you watch history and so on. And you're going to know that we are now in the last of these Gentile kingdoms, Rome, and it's blended to the Antichrist system, which you can't touch tonight. But now, in Daniel's own case, the Lord used a different symbol in this case and so forth. So, in the vision of Daniel that God gave him, they are revealed, these same Gentile kingdoms, are revealed as devouring predatory beasts, which maintain their supremacy through employing naked force, as we see now. So, wild beasts and so on, different symbols, but the same thing. And the Lord added a little information here, a little information there, you know, to the same revelation that he gave before, you know, to Nebuchadnezzar and so on. Let's go to the first beast, the lion, Daniel 7:4. The fourth was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Put a notation here. Well, we know, comparing that lion to the head of gold, just as gold is the king of metals. Amen. So the lion is the king of the animal kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you see, there is that superior and so on. You know. So as gold is the most precious of the metals, so the lion is the king of the forest. Both symbols refer to the Babylonian Empire. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we can see from history, historically speaking, we can see from history the figure of the lion, the wings of the eagle, and the face of a man adorned the palaces of Babylon and Nineveh. It is true in history. You can check them up in the encyclopedia and see that these images adorn the palaces of Babylon. Lion, the wings of eagle, and the face of a man, they all adorn, you know, the palaces of Babylon, you know, in ancient history and so forth like that, you know. Now, the wings, what are these wings? The wings symbolize the swift movement of the Babylonian armies, which were trained to march with great rapidity. They were trained that way, thus often taking their enemy by surprise. So we know the lion that we saw here represents that Babylonian kingdom where Nebuchadnezzar was the king at that time, and Daniel was in there at that time. So that empire, that Gentile empire. There came a time though when Nebuchadnezzar satisfied with the conquest, he conquered all he could conquer, and turned to the peaceful pursuit of building the great city of Babylon. So the later part of the verse refers to Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. You know, because he said in that verse 4, you know, so we see that kingdom, that lion represents him, because he said in verse 4 that I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to him. You know how, by our 7 years, Passover is held, right? And you have to go and crawl, you know, in the wilderness and so forth, that, you know, and all those things. And then the Lord healed him. So we see what is happening here is the wings being plucked, you know, means that, you know, that it was stripped of his power. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So it was stripped of his power, like, you know, and it was made to stand upon his feet as a man, as a man's heart was given to it. Speaks of his insanity and then his recovery. Praise the Lord. Both the man and the kingdom were symbolized in that verse. So we know it is Babylon. That lion represents the kingdom of Babylon, you know, Babylonian kingdom. Now, that's historically we see. But scripturally, we can also identify Babylon with the lion. Even scripturally, we know in the history books and so on, we can see that. But let's go to the Bible scripturally now. Identifying the first beast with Babylon is shown by description of Nebuchadnezzar as a lion. We get about two or three scriptures together to see this now. In Jeremiah 4, verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, say not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion, watch it now, the lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and the cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. So we see that now, right there. And the eagle symbol seems to be also associated with Babylon. So right there in that verse, there is no other person being described in that verse than Nebuchadnezzar coming to invade, you know, Israel at that time and so forth. Now, how about the eagle's wing and so forth, that, you know, Ezekiel 17. We are trying to show from the scriptures without, like we said, we were thinking before, without any controversy, that this lion represents that Babylonian kingdom, the Gentile kingdom. So Ezekiel 17, talking about the, you know, the eagle and the wings and so forth. But to son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel and say, thus said the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, come unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold the king of Babylon. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem and has taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon. That's where the name was taken. Praise the Lord. So we can see the lion coming out of his thicket, associating, you know, Nebuchadnezzar with a lion. So that fourth beast was Babylon, without any doubt. We are shown from the scriptures that Gentile Empire Babylon was, you know, Babylon, just like the head of gold. So tonight, we're just tying back the visions of Daniel, his own very vision, to the one he interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar, the four Gentile kingdoms, and God is repeating it here. As we see in one of them, the Lord will give more information. I'm going to stay in Daniel, the first 8 verses tonight. The second beast, Daniel 7:5. So, 7:5. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And it said thus unto it, arise, and devour much flesh. From all we can know from the scriptures, we know this bear represents the Medo-Persia Empire. Praise the Lord. I want to read this, we're going to read some Bible verses to back us up. The bear represents the Medo-Persia Empire, the empire in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, seen as the silver and the breast, you know, arms and so forth. So it, you know, the same thing, it corresponds to that breast of silver and arms of silver. So one paw was lifted up, the Bible says here. What does that mean? It showed that the Persian element was stronger than that of the Medes. It's a Medo-Persian empire, right? And it lifted up one paw. Praise the Lord. And that means that, you know, the Persian empire, and it shows in history, was stronger than that of the Medes and so forth. How about the 3 ribs in the mouth of the bear? They portray is conquering of the following countries. Now, these are very, very ancient countries, and Israel bear them out. So he conquered Susiana, S-U-S-I-N-A. What is Susiana Kingdom? It's an ancient country in the southwestern Asia to the east of the Tigris River in what is now modern Iran. Praise the Lord. Was known for its warfare or warlike people. So you see the three reefs show the conqueror, how he conquered three countries. Second country was Lydia, L-Y-D-I-A. Lydia is an ancient kingdom that occupied the present-day western Turkey. These are all in history. Praise the Lord. And the Bible bear them out. And the last one was Asia Minor. Praise the Lord. So he conquered all those three and so forth, So the bear itself is distinguished by its great strength, but it was awkward and it was lumbering like this and so on, in its movement, and overcame by sheer brute force. From history, the description was characterized by the Medo-Persian Empire, which gained its great victory by hauling vast masses of soldiers against its enemies. That's how the Medo-Persian Empire won its victory, huge armies. There was a record that at one time, about 2.5 million people were dispatched, to overcome the Greece, the Grecian Empire, They say in history, I don't know, that could be exaggerated, that this Medo-Persian Empire launched about 2.5 million soldiers just to get and defeat, the Greece at that time and so forth, So they say in history, we don't know. So we see that this is the Medo-Persian Empire represented by that, second bit that we saw in India. So we see that one. Now, so we're going to move to the next one now. So the next one was in verse 6 of Daniel 7, And the Bible says, after this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and was given, and dominion was given to it. So, and then, now, we look through history, look at the Bible, and what it stands for. So, the leopard, with its 4 heads and 4 wings, aptly symbolized the Greek or Macedonian Empire. See, that was it symbolizes. The wings denote its swiftness, which especially characterized the first general. Their first general was Alexander the Great, right? It was very, very sweet and so forth. So that leopard kind of symbolized him and so on. So that third beast, the leopard, is Greece, We know that Alexander's forced marches resulted in lightning-like conquest, that within a few years, the whole world was at his feet. We all know that in history. So this in the Bible denoting world kingdom, the Gentile kingdoms and so forth, And this leopard is the Grecian Empire, or they call it Macedonia. There's confusion in history. Some think they are the same or whatever, or they have a match, but the Grecian Empire anyway. So the forehead denotes the partition of the empire at the death of Alexander the Great into 4 divisions. Israel bear this out. So now when he died at the age of 32, I believe it is, he has conquered the whole world and there's no more war to conquer, went on a drinking orgy and so forth, and died of alcohol poison and so forth, Now what happened is 4 generals now divide the kingdoms among themselves. So that's why the 4 heads are there. Which are the kingdoms? They are Syria, Egypt, Macedonia, and Asia Minor. Praise the Lord. We are blending history to biblical record and so on. Nothing happened on this world but that the Lord foretold them. Praise the Lord. That is the essence of these things and so forth, So the top beast corresponds to the belly and the thigh of the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. However, the matter of the forehead, that's a new thing now to Daniel. That was an addition. Amen? Yeah. The Lord will give the original and then can add to it. There is never, ever a contradiction in the Bible. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. He may give something and add more information and more revelation to it. But tradition, no. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so the top beast corresponds to the belly and the thigh of image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. However, the matter of the forehead was not revealed in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. This troubled Daniel a lot, and he wanted to understand it, you know. The new revelation was to be given to him a couple of years later, as we see, you know, in chapter 8 of Daniel, but not tonight. We just identify, if you take anything from here tonight, is to see how God repeated the four Gentile kingdoms that will happen at the end of the age in two prophetic visions, one to Nebuchadnezzar and one to Daniel. That's what I'm taking here tonight, you know. And we see that why would the Lord double it? Because these things that were happening, they are for certain. Many of them have already happened. We're now in the Roman Empire, which is the last one, the fourth beast, which we are going to end up with tonight. Won't go too late here. The fourth beast in Daniel 7:7. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the false horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So as we see, the four beasts symbolize Rome. It is Rome. Just like the long feet of iron and of the toes and so forth of clay. So this fourth beast symbolizes Rome and corresponds to the iron legs in Nebuchadnezzar's image. The beast was of a dreadful appearance, the Bible says, exceedingly strong, the Bible says, and whatever it came against it, it broke it into pieces. The beast has iron teeth, which corresponds, of course, to the iron in the legs of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Now, here's another. Did not now add a new information to this Roman Empire that is coming or is here at the end of time. Then came another feature that was not shown in the image, the little horn. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that was not shown, right? We only have the iron leg and then the 10 toes of iron and clay and so forth. The little horn sprang up among the 10 horns and overthrew the 3 of them by the roots. The little horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Daniel was astonished. I put a note here. But before he could have an opportunity to ask the angel, the angelic being, what this really means, he went into another vision completely. You know, that's between chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. So, as he was wondering about this little horn that came up, another vision broke upon him and so forth. We are not going to go to that tonight, you know. So, and the vision showed the dominion of the first 3 beasts taken away, because they were probably beasts, right? But their lives are to be prolonged for a season. So, these nations still exist today. Those 3 nations, according to history and so forth, and they are still here today, are Iraq, which is Babylon, Persia, which is Iran, and Greece. So they are still here today. The Bible says in that verse verse 8. I considered the horns and the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked off by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Anyway, but when Rome comes up, it said the last one, which is Rome, when it comes up, the Bible says it will be destroyed completely, you know, according to that verse in Daniel 7:8. So when Rome comes up at the time, it will completely destroy, annihilated. Whereas these other nations, you know, they continue for a while, like we have them here today and so forth. So what we have shown today, because at the end of the age, We have been in this thing for so many years, 30 years. We have a new generation. We must let them know of these things. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So here we bring to the lowest denomination so that the little ones can understand these things. Praise the Lord. So we don't want to go too much far tonight. If you take anything away from here tonight, you little children and so forth, that is that the visions of Daniel that he saw in 7 can be tied back to the vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw back in chapter 2 of Daniel. We tie the head of gold to the lion. We tie the breast of silver arms and so on to the bear, and then we tie the belly of brass and so on to the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great was the general and so forth, that and we see again that Rome is the last one. And we're going to go next time the Lord gave us an opportunity to us to go back to the rest of the 7th chapter of Daniel to now explain, even talk more about that fourth beast, which is Rome, representing Rome. Because in verses 9 to 12, things are happening that occur at the end of the age. We will tie that back, the little horn, tie it back to Revelation 13, the Antichrist system and so forth. So again, tonight, we just want to stop right there to see how the Lord will have prophecy repeated, just to put more information and to show the significance. I'm going to take this one right down to the 78th week of Daniel to our day. Praise the Lord. Just as the Lord will give opportunity here and so on. Tonight, just a foundation. We don't want to go to chapter 2 of Daniel because we are all accustomed to that by now. So, but now, the 7th chapter is not often understood by many of the believers and so forth, They don't understand what those four beasts mean, But now, tonight, just in a little while, we know what they really mean. We show by history, we show by the scripture itself, what it means. We show what the four winds are and the great sea, what does this mean in the Bible and so on. So, and all those things. So, by the grace of God, we are going to move next time that little horn that no, and Daniel couldn't ask any more questions because another great vision broke. He said the thrones were set and the ancient of days, this seat and so on. We go into that. That's to the end of the age and to the Antichrist system. By God's grace, the next time we meet on this one. So, we're going to put this one through chapter 8, the little horn. And what does it mean and so forth. And then I'm going to go through to Daniel 78 week in Daniel chapter 9 and all that through there. It could be Bible say even in the book of Peter, some of these things we know, praise the Lord. But can be put in remembrance, praise the Lord. Because this is the age is ending fast. We must say this is the most prophetical generation. And the book of Daniel is often called the Old Testament Apocalypse. Amen. And if Book of Revelation is the New Testament Apocalypse. Like I said, the next time, by God's grace, we say we're going to tie that Daniel 7 between 9, 12, through that to Revelation 13, Revelation chapter 5, the next time and so forth. And see how this thing are set in order. And we're going to show that we're truly at the end of the age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. So, children, one of these that we're asking you questions. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we ask you questions. Yes, and then we'll be test. So we ask you one day, the lion in Daniel chapter 7, what was it tied to in Daniel chapter 2? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. The Bible says even in our houses, he says, write the word of the Lord, even upon the walls. Amen. Let the children read them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we go over these things that God has been teaching us for 40 years. We're not going to let them die. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They are meant for the end of the age. It will now tell you, when you know that we are in the last one now, Babylon has soon be gone. Medo Persian Empire has soon be gone. The Grecian Empire has soon be gone. Now we are in the last one. One way of showing we are at the end of the age. Amen.
Amen.
Another way of showing, we are not just saying the Lord is coming soon. We have a reason for that. When you see these things come to pass, know that even the Lord is at the door. Amen?
Amen.
That when we are talking about all these things at this time, so that the new generation can also understand, it can be a refresher course for us, spiritually talking. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
If we talk about anything, it should be by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
That words were found, and that words were eaten.
Amen.
And that words were the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. So we thank you tonight, Lord. Say that word in my bone that like fire,
mm-hmm.
that I should be with every believer.
Mm-hmm.
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is given to us to understand the mystery of the kingdom and to others in parables. So, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord. Just reading your word and just being able to just talk about them, you know, it's a wonderful thing, Lord. And we know you have blessed us tonight. And we glorify your name, Lord. Blessed be thy name, O Father.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For the prayer meeting, also, take time to pray.
So, Father, you know, more than not, you know, a lot of time,
what is happening right now, you know, to the, what you know, to the Bible prophecy and so on, the elections here, as it's going on,